Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, what's up, everybody? Let you hear the song a little bit. Had a little spill in my little studio here. This is Citizen Payne. Excuse me, Eric Citizen Payne. K, Son, and Friends, you've reached that time. You've reached our... Well, you know, you searched the website. You sought us out. You want to listen to what we're saying. Thanks for checking us out if you are. And let me turn this down a little bit. It's Wednesday when we normally do... has been our regular doing the live show day, you know, and we've been branching out doing other things on other days, trying to vary our topics as my mom got tired of us talking politics all the time. But that, you know, I think she was weary of that long before I started doing the show with her, probably during the days when she was married to my dad and him and my uncle would be talking and doing politics all the time. So, yeah, that's, you know, besides acting. That is one of the things I remember. That's one of the things I remember, have the longest memory of, being around public service and activism and people making speeches and talking about what we have to do for our people. Lifelong struggle, right? Centuries long. And each one of us is contingent upon, you get to a certain age, you know, the young people don't, when you're young, you don't realize that. And young people are coming to realize that decided to take part in our struggle as African Americans. And I guess the struggle is just living the life as a black person in this country, right? That's really part of the struggle. That's what you realize, what the struggle is trying to live that life in America. And as we see the things that are being done by people that wanted to keep us down, keep us from having a right to self-determination, a people's right to self-determination, They will go through any lengths, pierce any lengths, change the rules, do whatever. Any kind of conniptions they can go through. If you just look at some of these voter suppression efforts and the mean-spirited, the cruelness in which the spirit in which they present these things. I mean, you know, does anybody think it's nobody thinks, I'm sure, that it was a coincidence that Brian Kemp signed that voter suppression bill under that plantation meeting with all the white guys that support. I mean, no, you know, there's no misconceptions about it. You know, they make it pretty clear, and they send those symbols out, and they say whatever. And people kind of get up in arms, you know, the talking heads on TV, they talk about this and that and what they're doing. And people get surprised at the hypocrisy or appalled at the hypocrisy or call the hypocrisy out. And like I've been saying, you really can't say a criminal is a hypocrite, right? You can't say a liar is a hypocrite. You know, I'm going to say a criminal because criminals lie, cheat, and steal and do whatever. They feel like doing to live their life. I don't know if they assume they're doing it to survive, but, you know, they're criminals. They're willing to do whatever, you know. If you look at what McConnell said the other day, I was watching a little while ago, the video where he said, you know, corporations need to stay out of politics. I mean, you know, for thinking people, the shit is just so ridiculous that comes out of these people's mouths. And, you know, it's like really disrespectful of everybody, but I would suppose most disrespectful of the people that are their constituents that continue to vote for them, because what their actions clearly don't benefit the majority of their constituents, right? We all know that. Top 10%, top 1% of the 10% or whatever making the money. Clearly, it's impossible that majority of Mitch McConnell's constituents are anywhere in those categories, right? So they probably are more apt to be like, oh, say, the people in Brooklyn, Bed-Stuy. Maybe they have more in common with those type of folks in the Bronx even, or other areas of the country where they would assume they wouldn't have things in common with these people. Maybe. Who knows? But, you know, they're so lost, and these people don't care about them. McConnell came out today and said, well, maybe I misspoke about corporations staying out of politics. They have a right. Yeah, you idiot jackass. I mean, you know, it causes, I guess, what I'm tripping off of, the derangement syndrome that it causes with them to react, you know. And you can tell, by the way, that they try to carry off these plans they have, you know, try to execute all of their programs based on technicalities and argue them away. This is the budget is too much for this stimulus package or this infrastructure bill that Joe Biden is this, is that. But they'll always peep their card, say for Georgia's voter suppression law. They always peep their card because they can't help but be cruel and mean-spirited. And I just hold up the one example of the Georgia voter suppression bill. No water, can't give any water or snacks to anybody waiting in line. That's really particularly cruel or mean-spirited, isn't it? I mean, you can make technical arguments against all the other stuff to support your argument. But, you know, every once in a while, you know, doing stuff like that, nobody can even have any water. We want them to have to struggle to stay in line and make them wait 8 hours. That's when they always peep their card, when you know that their intentions are mean, cruel, and mean-spirited and racist and hateful. So in dealing with that, and we know that they're not going to stop, you know, this is something that these people aren't going to stop trying. Now they're reframing the argument of voter suppression, and I think it was the New Republic or one of their conservative magazines talking about they want a better quality of voters, maybe not as many voters, but a better quality of voters. And I've been saying, I've said on previous shows that what they want to do is try to, now that they're peeping, the Republicans are peeping that, you know, America's going to be black and brown. They're trying to move like a bus of South Africa move back in the day with a minority rule over the majority. That's what they're trying to structure things as since they done screwed up so bad in terms of being welcoming towards other type of people, you know, since they peeped their cards of being so completely racist. You know, any inroads that George Bush made with the Latino community probably is thinned out. And I don't say, I think the few black Republicans that went for Trump, I don't really think they're significant. And I think it's just such a small number that it's only reported because it's unusual that black people go against themselves. But if you look at what Tim Scott's tweet the other day, even talking about the wokeness and the woke mob about voting, even you have some delusioned house slaves that are willing to do it. But I know the fellas want to jump in here. Those are a couple of things I wanted to touch upon. I know these guys are going to get deeper into it or have their points of view. Wayne Gilman, the legendary newsman, is on the line. What's up, Wayne? What's going on?
Hey, good evening, Eric and Byron. I'm calling remotely tonight. I'm calling you from Spanish Harlem, a good friend of mine. And I actually wish I could have her participate in this conversation because it is so relevant with regard to what we're going through in this country. You know, everything that you've talked about is so pivotal to what is happening in this country. I really feel that we're in a moment where there's on the precipice of change. If the Democratic Party can continue on the path it's on without, I mean, even with the distractions with what the Republicans are doing, you know, it seems like there's been so much progress in the last 100 days. I don't know if the president has even been there 100 days yet. But the thing is that there has been a shift, a meaningful shift, I'd like to think, for the better. But it's also showing some of the ills we have gone through as a society in the last 4 years. And it's upsetting to think that we're still faced with these challenges of voter suppression in the South, the Jim Crow laws, and everything else that the Republican Party throws at us because it's either jealousy or they didn't think of doing the same or just basically just trying to keep what is inevitable down on the farm. They feel that they can continue the same pathological ideology that does not result in anything meaningful to progress this country as a nation. And unfortunately, if we don't heal this issue with racism in this country, things are going to get worse, you know, because the whole world is looking at us. They're looking at George Floyd. This is not 1968 where they could only imagine certain things that were being put on the air or things that you could read about. This is 2021, you know, and everything is in your face. There is nothing to be hidden. And I'm so glad that Joe Biden, every once in a while when he holds his news conference, he'll say and cite that he doesn't have the support of the elected Republican officials, but he has Republicans out there, as you cited, Eric, at the top of the show, that a lot of them come from communities that, you know, there's a commonality of interest between what goes on in an urban setting like New York when you juxtapose that with places that are rural. We're all suffering. So you figure that they would, you know, stop this foolishness because they're destroying themselves, you know? And I think even those 74 million who voted for Trump are beginning to see the differences now. And this is what we have to, stand by and be more forceful about in terms of letting people know this is not just about a Democratic thing. It's an American thing. It's about our survival. And, I don't know how long it's going to take, but I just feel that if we just stay on this path, things would only get better.
All right. Well, let's see. Let's bring Byron in here, our legendary historian, Byron Saunders. Byron, what's your take on the situations?
Well, three things. Number one, with the opportunity for the Democrats to sue Trump and other members of Giuliani, I think the next tactic they should do in terms of helping the Republican Party dismantle itself is stop suing just the Trump and his folks, Giuliani and all those folks. They need to sue the Republican Party because there's still 147 congressmen, senators who participated in aiding and abetting.
Hold on a second. B.A. Wayne, if one of you guys are doing stuff around, whatever you guys are doing in the background, we could hear. So if you can mute it, if you
Okay, I'm sorry. Unfortunately, I've had to call you from my cell. I was trying to get a landline, but I don't know if maybe
that's
if
right.
I'm going to a quiet room. I apologize.
Or if you just mute your, and then when you're ready to talk, just unmute it. That's all.
Okay, cool. All right.
There you go. Go ahead, Byron. I'm sorry.
So that's okay. So I think an opportunity that they should take advantage of, instead of just going ahead and trying to sue Trump and Giuliani and identified individuals who were at the podium, they need to sue the Republican Party, because at this point we know for a fact that they aided and abetted the insurrection in their silence, taking phone calls from the president while in the meeting determining total vote. This is a fact. While they were certified, they were taking calls from the president. So at this point, do a blanket suit and help take down the Republican Party, Mitch McConnell and all of them, and help them dismantle themselves a lot quicker. Number two, in the state of Mississippi, because you were referencing the so-called being woke, I think you said something about Tim Scott also engaging in that. Well, the fact that if Tim Scott is saying it in South Carolina, and the Mississippi Secretary of State is decrying woke students and calling them uninformed people being forced to vote, that's a playbook coming directly from the Koch brothers. That's not one state singularly making that comment. The fact that the Republican Party has embraced it and Tim Scott is pushing it, you know, like I said, they could put up, the Democrats need to come hard now. Sue the Republican Party. And then the third thing is this. Nobody's going to give back those stimulus checks. And you're right, Wayne. That's the equalizer right there. 200 million people will be vaccinated by the end of next week. That's an equalizer. And you keep doing Democrats methodically processing and turning people's heads to say, take off your sunglasses and really stop calling them insurrectionists. Call them Republicans. There's not a Democrat up there. And here's something else that was revealed yesterday in all the MSNBC and CNN. Fox, you know, won't do this. But they also revealed the profile of the insurrectionists, middle class and upper middle class white men. That's a fact. And at this point, their MO for insurrection was because they're not being recognized as majority. I keep telling people, they are a minority. And when you're the majority, start acting like the majority, Democrats. Yes, you got the parliamentarian to give you another reconciliation, but you can go much harder than that. And now's the time to shift gears to go completely hard on them. When you got corporate America backing you with respect to the baseball game, you know what? And here's something else. There are more billionaires in the state of Georgia than there previously was. So how did they get there? Why are they there? Who's paying for Kemp? See, got to chase the money, track the money, chase it down and let's assist the Republican Party in dismantling itself. Sue them.
Right. Yeah, I was going to say, in terms of that, you know, there's some things, you know, people are going to have to sacrifice a little bit. I was thinking that, there's going to have to be some consequences to, like you said, the Democrats are going to have to come hard. We're going to have to give them some consequences. You know, as I was thinking about the trial, Chauvin, the trial of the murderer of George Floyd, what will be the consequence should he not get found guilty? What should be the consequence, Democrats or Republicans who stand in the way? And the consequence is they should get run over. We should not try to play and play by the same rules that they refuse to play by. You know, and you know, we've talked about this before. We all agree to a set of rules, that being based on a constitution, and either we're going to all play by it or not. But clearly, that constitution, as far as they're concerned, was a constitution that was for white people and was for white supremacists only, and was not meant to be applied to non-white people. And that's the way they view it. And the sooner we stop talking about what was me and they're hypocrites and just accept them for who they are, that's who they are. So in knowing that you're dealing with an adversary, and let me just get this out, knowing that you're dealing with an adversary, then you an enemy, then you deal with them accordingly. You know, I haven't read The Art of War, but I'm sure Sun Tzu would say something like that. You have to know your enemy. And if these people present themselves at like enemies as opposed to countrymen or united or whatever, then we have to accept that and deal with it. It's okay. We all don't have to get along. But if we need to recognize each other through strength, right, respect through strength, like that was one of their Republican heroes, Ronald Reagan, was respect through strength, deterrence through strength. So, yeah, we're, all of us in these other various interest groups, we're going to look at you guys the same way. You guys are racist. We understand you're racist. We're not going to deal with you. If you want to deal with us on rights for everybody, yeah, we can get together and work on that. But if you're going to come with the bullshit and the voter suppression and all the stuff that you guys do, no, those are non-starters. And I'm glad that the president is taking that in more than a few of his approaches, laying the reef out there if you want to come and work. But like you said today in the press conference, it's a non-starter if you're talking about raising taxes on people making below $400,000. He said anything other than that, you can come talk to me. And you know, Joe, the good thing about Joe being Barack's vice president, he saw how they treated Barack. He knows how they could be. And the good thing about him being around for so long, he knows all the in and outs and all the tricks that they might try to do. So that's the best thing about having him in particular in this position at this time.
Absolutely. And the other thing is that is significant. The optics of the last two gun situations, you know, one was a gun, one was a knife. A $300 knife. Who buys a $300 knife, Eric, and then goes to the Capitol to do damage? That's a suicide.
That's a disturbed individual. That's a person with suffering from mental health.
Notice the use of force against him and against the Navy person over here in Maryland yesterday. The force used to stop them was shoot first, ask questions later.
Yeah.
They pummeled that sailor's car in Maryland. And you have to take a look at the car because that was intention to kill.
Yeah, but that's to be expected now, right? I mean, that's to be expected now.
That's to be expected. But once again, who got killed first? It's like a bad sci-fi movie. Who gets killed first in the sci-fi movies, Eric? Come on, bro.
Yeah, I get you. I mean, but that's always been the case. So that's nothing really new.
I don't think
if I was going to choose an example, I wouldn't necessarily choose those examples at this point in time because they're on high alert.
Well, yeah,
I don't know.
Still,
what do you think, Wayne?
It's a tough call. First of all, we're talking about the young brother who basically killed himself the other day by the Capitol Police, and you're talking about that incident compared to what happened on the 6th. I think that everybody's is wired at this point, you know, that they're prone towards anything coming at them. Obviously, I forgot the gentleman's name, but he obviously had some issues. And I'm glad you brought this up, Byron, because what pissed me off that day is right away they wanted to make an issue about him being a follower of Louis Farrakhan, the Nation of Islam.
That's what I call it.
Which really had nothing to do with Noah Green is his name. And and it had nothing to do with the freaking incident. He could have been following the Pope. Wouldn't it make a freaking difference, as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, the conservative press and the progressive press just seized on that. Every 2 minutes, this is how he was identified, like as if they still have an axe to grind about what happened with Malcolm and the minister and all that.
But, you mean the white supremacist press?
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, and this is the situation, no matter how much they may seem to be in favor of us, and I'm not saying that they haven't made an effort to balance the playing field. You know, I watch a lot of MSNBC. I've said this over the years. We've been on. I've seen a lot of progress being made. There they have a black woman at the helm. But the deal is that who she answers to. You know, why is that not an issue? You know, why all of a sudden that becomes something to be discussed? You know, that had nothing to do with this guy losing his mind. He obviously was in a bad place, and he took out his anger and his revenge, so to speak, at the Capitol Police.
He was
it also shows
–
Yeah, and I hate to go there because that was the – that was the example used in Atlanta, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, the deal is we could – go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say that makes it flip. You don't want to go there because that makes the response flip because people's lives are still lost. But you got to understand –
exactly.
I mean, you know, the even-handedness of the treatment. You know, we got a half hour, so I want to move over to the trial a little bit. Before we get to the trial, actually – well, maybe we should save Matt Gaetz for the end so we could just, you know.
Oh, please.
I mean, we're talking politics anyway, so we might.
I can't wait.
We might as well jump on him real quick. We're talking politics. You know, the fact that seeking a preemptive pardon for anything he may do, you know, there's a track record. He voted against, what did he vote against? The trafficking law, right? Didn't he vote against the trafficking bill? He voted against strict punishment, and he went to see the president for a preemptive pardon. So clearly there's a suggestion or evidence that he was engaging in some type of activity that he knew was a little bit suspect if you look at those actions alone, you know.
Well,
and
Trump says he never was approached by him, but
that's the loophole. That's the loophole. He said he never was approached personally. That's how they get over. You know, they play semantics with the exact words. I'm just tripping that, you know, when you ask somebody for a pardon, you know, there was a guy talking about it. That's an admission of guilt. But just the fact that these guys think about that as if it's a normal thing, right? I mean,
exactly.
I'm talking about, excuse me,
it's
from an integrity. Yeah, you know, it's like, what's the integrity?
That's the new Republican Party's MO.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
I can ask for a freaking pardon.
Exactly. Well, like, what kind of values were you brought up with where that's in the realm of possibilities during your time as a public servant that one day you might need to ask for, or this individual who's so despicable that you can ask for a pardon, that, hey, you might be able to get it in there and do my thing and show naked pictures on the floor. And, you know, hey, the Democrats should be the last ones to talk about, you know, how their situations with treatment of women from time to time. And that's across the board. That's dudes. But what I find and what I've noticed about the Republican Party is that they're always accusing people of the exact shit that they do, you know? And Wayne,
well,
if you said your friend wanted to talk, I certainly would. This would be the time to get an opinion.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, she's a former. Well, I should still say she's an active journalist. Where her name is Aurora Flores, and she's been around for quite some time, as long as I have, and former ABC News correspondent, and and a political activist, a salsa star. Aurora, are you in a position to come to the phone? Or because I know that we're talking about the Matt Gaetz case.
So Wayne,
Wayne,
so why don't you put your phone on speaker if you guys are in the same place, and we can do it like that.
You know,
since we're talking about Matt Gaetz, it would be great to get a female's perspective about
Aurora, this is our co-host and host, Eric Payne and Byron Saunders.
Hi, Eric.
Welcome
and Byron. I'm Aurora.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I'm here surviving in a pandemic. I'm still here.
Glad to hear that. Glad to hear that. So what's your assessment? What's your perspective about Matt Gaetz and
Matt Gaetz reminds me of all these white college guys who used to come on to us Latinas and want to give us $100 bills for our taxi rides, but yet they wanted to come back afterwards and collect on that $100 bills. That's what Matt Gaetz reminds me of.
Wow.
One of the lowest of the low I've ever seen. This is a guy who at the Capitol building, at the building where our laws are made, where America has its values, is showing on his phone a naked girl doing the hula hoop that he screwed. Mm. I have no respect for Matt Gaetz.
Allegedly.
Okay? But you know what? I know how guys are. You don't show that to other guys.
Exactly.
Unless you're bragging about it.
Mm-hmm.
And if he bragged about it, whether it was true or not, he bragged about it in his mind.
Mm-hmm.
It was true.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the people that are making laws for us?
And ask for a pardon.
And, of course, when he asks for a pardon, it's because he knows he's guilty.
Right.
You wouldn't ask for a pardon if you didn't know you were guilty. He knows he's guilty, but they have all taken the playbook of Trump, and you never admit being guilty. You always defend yourself, no matter what it is. Even if he shot somebody on Fifth Avenue, you don't admit it.
That's true.
That Gaetz guy.
That's very true.
He's the worst of the worst. He is the worst of the misogyny. He is the worst of the worst.
You know, that's interesting what you said about him, reminding you of some these college white guys who used to come on or try to approach the Latina sisters with this because, you know, that exhibits their inherent racism, right? Their inherent white supremacy that all people of color.
Well, not only the white supremacy, it's a misogyny. It's not only white supremacy.
Exactly.
White supremacy is on top of it. They think that they could buy us to have sex with them. But it's a misogyny. It's a total disrespect of all women.
Mm-hmm.
All
mm-hmm.
women. Even
mm-hmm.
their own women. Even that defense that he put out where he's talking in the third person and saying at the end that Matt Gaetz is going to marry the love of his life. Really? The love of his life? He disrespected every woman, even the love of his life.
Right. Right. Byron?
He needs to go. He needs
thank
to
you.
Go.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Absolutely.
Aurora,
one of the things that you point out very clearly, the misogyny situation, because the attack on women's rights by the Republican Party over the last 30 years has been based in misogyny. And it's not an
mm-hmm.
accident. And so
mm-hmm.
you're absolutely correct. And that in that essence alone, pointing to the historical reference of all of their votes against women's rights, abortion rights, life rights, cutting food stamps, cutting assistance to those who claim to be pro-life, but once the child gets here, it's a death sentence. And that's what they've been doing. And we have to point it out. That's why I say the Republican Party needs to be sued. Forget about Trump and the Proud Boys. That's a target. I want the whole entire 147 members who are still pushing the lie. I want them gone. And I want them out of the House.
I agree with you.
Defending us. That's exactly what we need to have happen.
I agree with you 100%. And if you just look at who's in power, it's the majority of white men. That needs to change. Women have to be out there. We are tired of the old patriarchy. We are tired of the patriarchy that, like Rome, has a phallus symbol on the houses of the men that are powerful. We are now in the age of the Million Woman March. We are in the age of pussy hats galore. We are in the age of the vagina monologues. Vaginas are now as just as important as that phallus symbol. We need more women to make the laws. We need more women in Congress as senators. We need more women in politics.
Is that
all right? You heard it first.
You want to run for office, Aurora? Because I'll help back you, support you. You got the right hump. You know, you can. We need that strength. And it's interesting because as the maternal instinct of a nation is in need of a mother who supports their children. This is
exactly, and this is why we are having problems with the earth, with this pandemic, with global warming. Mother Nature is not happy with us.
Right.
We have not done good there. And people that are asking me about the vaccine and should they get it, we grew up on vaccines. We live this long because of vaccines. And this whole pandemic is because of global warming. The animals have left their nests. They're coming closer to us. The Amazon jungle is being torn down. Trees are being torn down. Bats are coming closer to us. We're going to have more pandemics.
Right.
We need to stop. Mother Nature is pissed off at us.
There you go.
All right.
Thank you, Aurora.
Thank you.
Thank you. You know, we didn't plan this, but Spanish Harlem is represented tonight.
Well, that's great. That's the first female that we've had, a female perspective we had since my mom. As you guys, I don't know if you guys are aware of that. But,
well, good for your mom. Moms are important.
That's right. That's exactly what we needed. And I know she's smiling down happy for that. She's probably saying about time. And, and I do agree that energy of being out of sync with the earth and the atmosphere and kind of Mother Earth kind of trying to shift us back into sync. You know, the earth reacting, the atmosphere reacting because it's out of balance, you know.
It's out of balance. One of the things Native American Indians say, that when the white man came, one of the things they saw very clearly is that the white man could not find the center of his life or of the earth. They knew what the center was. And they felt that you can't sell land. You can't sell air. You can't sell water. There's a center here. And they felt that white people never found this center. And some of them are realizing that now.
Right.
That's the problem.
Yeah. I've heard that before.
That
too.
Is an issue.
Hey, let's move to the trial real quick before we get off. We've got about another, I guess, 20 minutes. I kind of been watching it off and on, but not too much, you know, because the guy killed the guy. So how many different ways can we look at it, try to argue? They can try to, you know, this is just more the same to me that they've been doing for hundreds of years. Try to look at it and say this, and he had this in his system, and he was doing this and this. Any way you look at it, any eight ways to Sunday, he murdered the brother. And there's nothing ever that can make anybody think that that's not the case. And I understand everybody's got to have a trial. That's their right. But, you know, this is a show here. This guy deserves the death penalty, in my estimation. I don't know how you guys feel about the trial, but I'm interested to know, you know, and it seems like each witness that's talking by the book is saying, yeah, this guy, he killed the guy. There's no doubt about it. So I'm interested to hear you guys' thoughts about it.
The situation with the opioids demands accountability from the previous administration, because he put up a big sign about providing funding for combating opioids. Now, we are talking about Wisconsin.
We're talking about the trial.
Because they're saying his girlfriend was hooked on opioids. Yes, that is a problem. But you know what? the United States government gave alcohol to the Indians. So when has it changed?
Right.
We got crack coming into Los Angeles because of Sandinistas and what's his name, North. Okay, so the parameters of this conversation about having drugs in his system, well, what drugs did this cop have in his system? Because I want to know what triggered him mentally to
right.
feel as if he could be judge, jury, and executioner. There's a mental problem, yeah, and there's some kind of overriding drug, or whether it's, you know, adrenaline or whatever that rush is, because when you're sitting there killing somebody and you've got a smile on your face, see, nobody's talking about the smile yet.
Mm-hmm.
Let's deal with the fact that now you want to blame the people on the sidewalk who are really not addressing the violence, trying to get the man some help, medical help. So you
right.
see, they're throwing up shade. And whether they come to first degree, second degree, third degree manslaughter, everybody who's witnessed a murder in front of their eyes in the nation and the world has seen it. And you know what? Let them not come up with a verdict of guilty. You have yet to see the role of the comeback, because you think moving a baseball game out of Atlanta is the worst thing that can happen to you in the state of Georgia? Don't let this man walk free.
Okay.
I just want to respond to that. The only problem is that historically, all of them have walked free. This would be a seminal moment in law enforcement if this guy's locked up. And if there is a death penalty, you know, then that should be carried out as well. He was entitled to his due process. As I've been saying since the time the trial started, I don't even know why we're sitting down watching this. It's sad, you know. He was convicted in the press right after it happened. There is a memorial record of what went on, you know. But it seems like with Rodney King, Trayvon Martin, all these other cases, Eric Garner, you know, they always figure out a way to excuse, but this is so, you know, I don't see how you can escape this. This is so black and white, you know?
Well,
and,
you know,
but I'm afraid that maybe history will repeat itself again. They'll figure out something.
Well, I mean, that's why I think the whole system is flawed, and you put the whole system on trial. Brilliantly done by Johnny Cochran to get OJ off, and you know, certainly there's more leeway in terms of whether that really went down or not. You know, now that we're looking back on.
Well, you know, the funny thing is, there's similarities. Not to cut you off, Eric, and Johnny Cochran was brilliant. Mm-hmm. You know, Johnny Cochran was like way ahead of his time. And the thing is, it's unfortunate that he's no longer with us, but, you know, the bottom line is, you know, we have a memorial of what occurred. There was no, I mean, we can only guess what happened with O.J. Simpson, you know, the night that he's accused of killing his ex-wife and her boyfriend. We can only, you know, there's no videotapes of what occurred, you know, and but this, it's documented.
Exactly.
You know, when people look back at this a million years from now, the documentation is there. So if they don't do the right thing, I'd like to know why. But then it's happened 10 times before this where, whether it was documented or not, you know, they've gotten off.
Right. Well, that's why he was able to put the American system. That's the argument. That's, I mean, it's a political move, but it's also a legal move, right? If you can get the right people that are sitting in the right places to understand the politics behind the law. So obviously the jury in that scenario was a jury. I don't know. I guess he had a good number of African-Americans, I would assume, as it turns out. But excuse me. But you put the whole system on trial because the system is corrupt. So I guess that's what this guy's defense lawyer is trying to do. you know, the legal system to me is a way, even though it helps us to get potentially to the truth. You guys have heard me say this before about the legal system, about our system of government, the rules and all of this. There's too much ways for loophole, too many ways for you to argue your way out of certain situations. And beyond a reasonable doubt, yes, it's good, but sometimes it hurts as well, because that's a subjective thing, you know? So to what's subjective, what was subjective back in the day to those racists that let those men off, that murdered Emmett Till, subjective, right? Beyond a reasonable doubt, you know? So, I mean, that's what I'm saying about the system. There's problems, there's flaws inherent within the system that need to be fixed. And my argument, I guess the point I want to make each time I make that point is that I think it was intentional. And so knowing that it's intentional, that we need to work it even better, we're saying checkmate. And that's what somebody made an observation earlier on one of the shows today, traditionally, how Democrats didn't vote in the midterms. And then when Democrats started voting in this last midterm because of the actions of Trump, the Republicans wanted to change the game because that was their trump card, their loophole, so to speak, because they knew traditionally during every midterm election, the Democrats weren't coming out and voting in the proper numbers. But once we begin to flip the system where it works for us, they want to change the system. There's a loophole where they could change it, you know? It's like the filibuster or going back to the standing filibuster, you know? Stop letting these guys have all these loopholes where they're playing just semantics and no work is getting done. Nobody, you know, they're just mucking up the works. You know, it's already obvious that they're trying to throw a wrench in Joe Biden's plan. If you look at the Republican governors and what they're doing, Texas and these other places, DeSantis, Florida, Arizona, Mississippi, you know. So that's my perspective on it. I don't know if anybody else.
Eric. One of the things that they, like I said, if the Democrats start suing the Republican Party, listen, the states that are spiking right now in the COVID pandemic are states that people came from to go down to Florida for spring break, went to Texas. I mean, consider this. When do we start suing the governors of those states to pay back the amount of money being given to them for the pandemic relief, because they insisted on opening up, like the Texas Rangers, opening up to a full house?
Yeah.
That's insanity.
Yeah.
And at some point, the government has to say, you don't get any more of the funding. Why? Because you're part of the problem. You're not part of the solution.
Exactly.
And sorry for your residents, but you had a situation where the storm went through in Texas, and you know what went up after that storm? Our gas prices. Not because of the situation in the Mideast, but because the pipelines were being destroyed by Mother Nature, and those pipelines run from the Gulf of Mexico all the way up to Connecticut. You see the prices? I know those of y'all are driving cars. And what about our food prices going skyrocket? Guess what? I said back in August, no way you're going to have food prices not become the next war because you put a tariff on. And you bailed out farmers not to grow. And then you had a drought, and then you had fires, and then you had storms, and Mother Nature just casting all hell on the United States of America, and now our food prices are spiking. We're the breadbasket
of the
world.
I happen to agree with you, but I also feel that there is no uniformity when it comes to a federal plan. This should come on high. Biden is now in charge because we were going to get this from Trump. But the deal is that, as Eric pointed out, DeSantis in Florida, the Texas governor, the one in Arizona, and clearly the one that basically has been calling the shots in North Dakota, in the Dakotas period, all those that are not in lockstep with wanting to cure, to see about bringing about a herd immunity, they're working against the system. They're killing. You know, it doesn't make sense for us to even exercise what we're doing until we can have some uniformity. And this applies to everything. It's not just, you know, a state edict. There's going to have to be some overhaul in how this country functions, because you just can't take one segment of our society and say, well, we're going to do things here and then do things differently somewhere else, you know? And I don't think the world, when they look at us, can continue to and I also look particularly at China and to a less extent Japan and North Korea. They're keeping a watch of what we're doing, particularly China. You know, they don't have an elected system the way we do. They have an emperor there. You know, their philosophy is going to be consistent. And they're not happy with all the abuse that the American Chinese are getting in this country. So we're going to have to retweak what it is that we do in order to make ourselves a democracy that everyone has appreciated, or what at least this, the foundation of what this country is all about, why my forefathers and everyone else is who came here, you know, this has nothing to do with the middle passes, but the reasons why immigrants came here, because they wanted a better life, period. You know, they got to clean up the racism, you know, the bigotry and the degradation that we've gone through for centuries can't continue. We cannot function like this. There have been so many studies. It affects the economy. I mean, I don't get it. You know, I don't understand how the Republican Party doesn't see it, you know?
Yeah,
and it would be in their best interest if they were to embrace some of the things that we've been doing as Democrats.
Yeah.
Well, they've been paid for and bought by a conglomerate, which is called the oligarchs. They are paid up in full. That's why they don't want to vote against gun issues. We got LaPierre, what's his name, with the NRA filing bankruptcy, trying to move his organization to Texas. Well, if the state of New York is smart enough, they can lock him down so he can't move anywhere. Bankrupt him.
Amen.
Bankrupt him.
What we need to do is, in my estimation, I'm not concerned about the other side or learning about. We need to see what they're doing. We need to form our own plan of action, you know, and do what we need to do to achieve our ends and our goals. You know, whatever these other, I'll call them anti-Americans, because they're anti the society that we have here, you know, and that, and people are trying to make this country into, you know, a lot of people, like you said, Wayne. People that are not descendants of direct descendants of slaves came here also looking for, you know, a better life. Nobody, you know, I've always thought that nobody would want to leave their home unless they absolutely had to. And certainly nobody's going to walk thousands of miles unless they absolutely had to. And just when you think about that with a modicum of compassion, of empathy, of humanity, then you might just be more willing to open your arms to people and to understand, you know, when people are walking up to you like they're desperate, you know. But you know, I guess, like we said before, we're running down out of time a little bit. But like we said before, you know, we're dealing with some individuals who think, you know, I saw someone say that this is their God-given right to act a certain way. Before we go out, I want to just get you guys, see if you guys saw the CIAA, my boys at Baylor University, did their thing. I loved it because of their making of their team. You know, Gonzaga was just too, everybody was on them a little bit too much for me. And I liked them guys from Baylor came in and do their thing. I don't know what you guys think, but I loved it.
Well, Eric, I go back to 1964-65 at Coalfield House in Maryland. Texas Western coming in.
Say it again, brother.
Texas Western coming
in. Who was the coach?
To play.
Who was the coach?
Kentucky. They were playing Kentucky. Adolph Rupp, swore and made a comment, I will never, ever have blacks on my team. When we get a chance to play street ball, like going up to Harlem to play in the tournament, you know what I'm talking about. You put street ball guys on the court who want to shine and show you that they are as good as the elite, they will do it every time. And it's not taking nothing away from Gonzaga, because Gonzaga has a great team.
But why is it got to be street ball? They call it street ball because the brothers was playing it. And you forgot to mention John McClendon, the great John McClendon, who was the coach of that team, right? Wasn't it brother John McClendon who was the coach of that team, who was the direct lineage from Mr. Naismith, the inventor of basketball?
Yeah.
I watched that the other day, and they never really respected this brother, didn't put him in the Hall of Fame, mentioned in the Hall of Fame until they had to get on the NBA All Hall of Fame to let this brother have his rightful place in history.
That's right. But you, those five brothers put their name in the history book,
they're
just as good as Gonzaga. And you know what? On that night, they spanked them. From pillar to post, okay? And it's like, were you surprised? I wasn't, because I went to Coalfield House for that game. I wasn't at the final. I was at the semifinals the night before, because I live in Washington, D.C., and my dad took me to it. And I'll never forget that moment. But once again, I was like, wow, these brothers are showing out, because they play a different kind of game.
Right.
It's toughness.
Exactly. And I tell you, not to cut you off, Byron, I mean, I hate to bring race as a factor, but I was so – because their Baylor's record was not even as good as Gonzaga, you know?
Yeah.
They were looking to be undefeated too, but their season got a little messed up by COVID. But that was the whole thing about,
right.
But the whole thing about those two is that – they were scheduled to meet during the regular season, and at that time they were both undefeated, and it wasn't able to happen.
Right.
So this was the backstory. We got a minute 30, so wrap up your stuff there a little bit, gentlemen. You want to finish your point real quick, Wayne?
No, I just wanted to say, I mean, I hate to bring race as a factor, but, hey, those black boys, you know, pulled it off. It was just an astonishing moment just to see them play.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the run, and that was actually the fast break style that Coach McClendon instituted in his coaching style of play, which made the game a lot faster. The White Cats weren't used to playing in those fast games, and, you know, that's what ended up happening. We got to jump now, gentlemen. Bye, Wayne, you want to give the people your send-off and let them know how you feel about them?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you for having my company be a participant tonight. Totally unexpected. But
yes,
keep hope alive. I think things will get better. My good friend Aurora Flores says hello also.
All right. Thank you, Brother Wayne. Thank you, Aurora Flores. Byron Saunders. Brother Byron.
Yes, sir.
Give the people your sign off.
You know, I always like to end with saying peace and love always, but the majority is beginning to take its stand. Remember that, people of color, we are one. We are the American majority. Now let's show it.
That's right. And we're going to bring all the love to, thanks, Brother Byron Saunders. We'll talk to you again. We're going to bring all the love to America. That's what we're going to do on our side. That's what we seek anyway. We would like people to be united, stop beefing. This is Kay Son of Friends. I'm Citizen Payne, Eric Citizen Payne, Byron Saunders, Wayne Gilman. Talk to you guys later again.